We also keep in our prayers those who are traveling for Thanksgiving. So traveling mercy and prayers for those visiting with loved ones and going many miles, I'm sure. The message for today is in anticipation of the Thanksgiving holiday. And you see the title, What Does It Take to Be Thankful? And so there are two scripture readings. The first is from Luke 17. It's the story in which Jesus cleanses or heals not one, but 10 lepers. And then I'm reading a short passage that the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Colossae. And so listen as I read from Luke 17, beginning at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. And then in Colossians, this little letter in the New Testament in chapter 3, just a few verses at 15, and let the peace of Christ, Paul writes, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks as we approach this Thanksgiving holiday. Open our eyes that we might see this day. Open our ears that we might hear of the truth that is proclaimed from your word that we need to hear, each one of us, for we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin with the question this morning, and the question is this: when is the last time that you used the word Thanksgiving without referencing it to Thanksgiving holiday? When was the last time you used the word Thanksgiving without referring to the Thanksgiving holiday? It may have been some time for a few people. What I'm suggesting in asking that question is that it's appropriate at all times to give thanks, in all occasions. It's appropriate to give thanks and to have a prayer at a Thanksgiving meal. It's appropriate to do it every meal. If it's done at every meal, then we sometimes have to be cautious that it doesn't become a rote prayer or a prayer that's really not from the heart. And so I encourage you to be thankful and to give thanks, to pray at a time of a Thanksgiving dinner. Thankfulness is the joyful response, to define it, the joyful response of the human heart that has been transformed by the grace of God. Let me say it one more time. I got an amen. Thankfulness is the joyful response of the human heart that has been transformed by the grace of God. That is Thanksgiving. I love Psalm 100. Psalm 100, it begins by saying, Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. And then in verse 5, it tells you why. It gives you 3 points. Why you should enter God's presence with thanksgiving. And why? Because the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness, he is faithful to all generations, says verse 5 and 6. And so when we enter God's sanctuary, God's presence, there are 3 reasons we're to be thankful: because God is good, because God is loving and because God is faithful. And God is good and loving and faithful every day, or God never is, every day. More than 30 times, if you read the book of the Psalms, more than 30 times the psalmist says, be thankful unto God and bless his name. Thanksgiving, you see, it should be a way of life for people of faith. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Colossae, he made the point in that short three or four verses that I read that thanksgiving should be an attitude that we have at all times and in all places. And Paul wrote in those verses, in everything give thanks. Notice he didn't say, in some things give thanks. In everything give thanks. That's a pretty big picture. In everything give thanks. It was a theologian, Karl Barth, in the last century. He said this. He said, basically and radically, all sin is simply ingratitude to God. Ingratitude to God. And I think that's on target. So Thanksgiving Day, you see, it comes as an announcement to all of us, a reminder that personally and as a nation and for us spiritually, we are to be thankful as people of faith. But then comes the question, naturally, what does it take to be thankful? Pastor, how do you do that? How do we pull that off? How do we become thankful people? Not just for a day, but for every day. Well, first of all, I think it takes humility. Humility. Our humbling ourselves before God every day. Being a humble person on a daily basis. We're also beholden to others, and so we should be humble to other people. Life is not just about our own achievements or But really we have received a gift upon gift from others. And they have been piled up one after the other for years. We have received gift upon gift. I was aware this fall on our wonderful Wednesdays, the dinner time when we had the program, I was aware personally how grateful I am, how thankful I am for each of the staff members we have here. And all of them, we shared and celebrated benchmarks that they had achieved in their service here at Northwood. Stephanie Carson, over 100 years. Pardon me, 22 years. I didn't mean to say that. Over 22, and she still looks like a 19-year-old. Tom Huffman had just a great sense of wit at that dinner program, and we celebrated over 10 years. Chris Hurst, business administrator, over 10 years. Paul Means, associate pastor for congregational care and mission, over 10 years. Justine Davis, over 5 years, now the school director and the children's ministry director. It takes a lot to be an effective church, and I am grateful because I cannot do it alone. It cannot be done by alone. I'm grateful to session members, to elders and deacons in this church, people that are caregivers that take meals to one another, on and on it goes, ushers and greeters every single Sunday. The nurses in the hallway that took care of Babs on her way to get stitches. I mean, it takes a lot of people to build up the Church of Jesus Christ. Not just one person. A church is never going to survive if it's built off a personality of one or two people. It's hard to understand how anyone nowadays can say, I'm self-made. And yet sometimes I hear that from people. I'm a self-made man. Or I'm a self-made woman. It's just not true. There's a danger, you see, of being successful and prosperous or doing well. And the danger is this. We tend to magnify what we have done, what we have earned, and we tend to ignore what others have done for us and much more what God has done for us. When we are successful, we tend to say, look what I did. Look what I've achieved. It was at least, in this story from the Gospel of Luke, at least one leper came back and fell humbly at the feet of Jesus, convinced that it was not just because his good constitution or taking lots of vitamins or good luck that cured him. He was convinced that it was Jesus who healed and cleansed him, And indeed, Jesus said, why didn't the other nine come back and give thanks to God? Notice the subtle self-reference. Jesus was God. Where were the other nine? I want to give you one of the illustrations I hope you will remember at Thanksgiving that will be a humbling illustration. It comes from a 1958 famous essay that was written by Leonard Reed. I mentioned that in the first service, and several people came out the door and remembered reading that article. That tells you how old some of them were that read. But they said, Leonard Reed, by the way, he was the founder of the Foundation for Economic Education. And the essay that he wrote was in defense of the free market system in America, our democracy, our capitalism that we enjoy. And the title of his essay was two words, I, pencil. You can search that through YouTube or through Google, and you'll see a video about I, pencil. It was too long to show here, but you can see that. I, pencil. Can you see this pencil in the back of the room? You're probably having some trouble. Let me get one that's just a little bit bigger. So maybe somebody will ask you Thanksgiving Day, what did your pastor talk about on Sunday before Thanksgiving? You can say, well, he talked about a pencil. I still don't know what he meant by it, but we talked about it. I wish Gary Granada were here today. I could really use Gary. This pencil actually writes as well. It's courtesy of Joyce Curvin, my wife, and Westfield Mall. It says Westfield right here, westfield.com. It was part of their going back to school display that we got out of storage. But anyway, you can see this one on the back row, can't you? Leonard Reed said in his famous article in 1958 that as simple as a pencil looks, not a single person in the whole world can make one by themselves, nor know everything that goes into making a pencil. The article continues, this 1958 article, where Reed mentions all the laborers that it takes to make the pencil. He goes on and on about the loggers in California in that day and time that cut down the trees for these pencils, the railroad, the roaders who ship the logs to the mill workers who cut them into these particular slats so very carefully, the kiln workers who dried and through their kilns gave the yellow color to the pencil, the sweepers and the helpers in the mill. He went on to write about the power plant workers who provide the electricity, the miners who provide graphite that shipped from way overseas and delivered by sailors and ships. And then the metal at the top of the pencil that comes from zinc and copper mines around the world and are shipped here to make this shiny metal on the pencil. And then you've got the eraser made from rapeseed oil and reacting with sulfur chloride from the East Indies. Millions of people making the pencil it takes. All were necessary, and no one can claim to know the whole process, and no one can do it just by themselves. He wrote famously at the end of that 1958 article, words that you know and words that were made famous by that article. He wrote at the end, only God can make a tree. Now, doesn't that make you humble this morning? What a gift of so many people to offer us just one pencil. You can put that back. Thank you. Don't play with it. Think as well of the millions that we are grateful for at this Thanksgiving. The people who work in wondrous ways, laborers and manufacturers, factories, farmers, those who manage websites when we order our Christmas stuff nowadays. The countless skills and the hard work of so many people. We ought to be grateful for how this country works and for the gifts and skills of so many. And remember, at the back of all of it is God. You see, when we are humble, When we are humble, then we can be grateful. Secondly, what it takes for us to be thankful is an appreciation for all of life. And I mean all of it. And that means we can choose in life to appreciate life or to complain about it. We can decide and act upon living and seeing life in a positive way versus a negative way. There is something good to find even in an extreme situation. So while Bab may have cut her finger today, the little bit of webbing there between the fingers, it's the first time she's going to get to have stitches. There's some good in there, isn't there? And no doubt people will care for her this week, right? You'll all call her and say, I heard you were hurt, and Pastor Chris stepped on your hand, and so on and so forth. I wish Gary were here. We joke about Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will. You may have heard years ago the O'Malley Law. You know what the O'Malley Law is, don't you? The O'Malley Law is that Murphy was an optimist. But it seems that oftentimes things do go badly. It seems like every time I put peanut butter on one side of the bread, if I drop the bread, guess what happens? It lands peanut butter side down. I thought about that the other day, and I thought maybe it does that every time because the peanut butter makes that side of bread heavier. But it always seems like it falls on the bad side, the side I want to eat. But some people live that way. Their cry is, oh, if something will go wrong, it will, it will. Here's what I'm saying this morning. Of course, garbage happens to us in life. But for people of faith, when garbage happens, we also say grace happens. We also say love happens. We also say joy happens. It's not just garbage that wins all the time. Good stuff happens too. And when I think of those 10 lepers, all healed of that ugly, scaly, deforming disease that kept them from the community for years, maybe decades, only one returned to give thanks. So learning how to give thanks is not easy, obviously. Only one said thank you. And that was from the wrong ethnic tradition, a Samaritan. It makes you wonder, doesn't it, why the other nine didn't return? Why they didn't come back? One of them may have thought, well, you know, I was getting better. I had ordered that oil and was using that oil, and I was already getting better. Another might have said, you know, I wasn't that bad anyway. I don't know why they ran me out of the community. I didn't mind the scales. I could cover it up. Many reasons they may have, but it could be just because they were so angry because they had been ostracized for years. They probably were grieving about all the lost years they had as lepers where they couldn't be in the community, that they forgot to go back and be thankful. But one did. Someone has suggested that instead of just saying general thank yous around Thanksgiving, that we intentionally make a list. And I thought, that's a really good idea, to make a list about what we're really thankful for the past year. And so I would encourage you on your bulletin today, or remember some of the things I'm going to say, and when you get home, maybe write a list. Don't do it while you're driving, but when you get home, make a list. A Thanksgiving inventory. Write down someone who was thoughtful or showed thoughtfulness to you in the past year. Someone who sent you a card or a letter. Someone who called you asking how you've been. Put down an accomplishment or a challenge that you're thankful you met. Put down and list those dreams in your life that have come through, the things that you wanted to see in life that you were able to see in this past year. Put down an answer to a prayer. Perhaps you met a new friend. Put that new friend's name down on the list and give thanks to God for that new friend, or the old friend, or the person or the thing that you've taken for granted. Put that on the list and be thankful for it. Put down a fun time that you had in this past year, and then when you make your complete list, I believe you will see And appreciation for things like that can make it a lot easier to be thankful every day when you have put that list together. Then thirdly, what it takes to be thankful is unselfishness and generosity. Those two go together, unselfishness and generosity. It is hard for those who are greedy, it is hard for those who are selfish to be thankful in any way. It was Henry David Thoreau who said this, "I make myself rich by making my wants few." And then on the other hand, it was Henry Ford who answered the question, "How much money is enough?" And Ford answered, "Just a little more is enough." You see, we can be thankful when we see that what we have is sufficient. You will know what you have is sufficient when you realize how many items you need to bring down to the church-wide garage sale, right? Then you'll know what you have is more than sufficient. But we can't be thankful when we feel there is never enough. We can never be thankful when we think there's just not enough. There's not enough. I need more. And so this season, this Thanksgiving, this Advent that we're coming into, make a list of the gifts you have and not a list of the things you don't have. Make a list of the things that you have. Even in living in this area, we have these beautiful sunsets. We have the freedom of speech. We have the sense of self-worth that someone gifted us with, a parent or a mentor or someone who loved us, warts and all. Life, what I'm saying, you see, is not just a grab bag. It is truly, life is truly a cornucopia. There's a lot of things to be joyful for even the poorest among us here. Furthermore, thankfulness and generosity, as I said, they do go together. Those who are truly grateful are generous. And those who are generous grow further and further in gratitude and thanksgiving. I always felt it's appropriate that Thanksgiving Day and the stewardship season in the church go hand in hand. You would think your pastor would say that, right? But it's true. They belong together. At our best, our giving is a response to the thanksgiving of God. Thanksgiving to God. God who has been so gracious to us. And then at the center of our faith, most of all, is the awesome truth that God has sacrificed himself for us in a son. And in so doing, our lives are set free from guilt and from fear and from dread, and we can be positive people because of that. And so humility, appreciation, unselfishness, and generosity, these are the keys that God has given us if we truly want to be thankful. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks today for the person of Jesus Christ that you sacrificed yourself in. O Lord, we are so grateful as your people for having fear and dread about the future taken away. And so help us to come into your presence always with thanksgiving, for you are good and you are loving and you are everything to us. In Christ's name, amen.